This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Equity Minds.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is you.
Welcome to the Equity Mates Summer Series, proudly brought to you by Superhero. Over 12 episodes, we're deep diving into some of the most exciting, interesting, and well-known companies from both here in Australia and over in the US. In some instances, we'll be hearing directly from the CEOs to give you first-hand insight into their companies. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. Great to be back for our third Summer Series.
Yes, third or fourth. Oh man, time flies.
Time flies, but this is one of our favorite times of the year because we take a recording break, but we get the opportunity to deep dive into 12 companies, one episode per company. As we've grown, we've been able to get some CEOs to join us, so we get to speak to some of the CEOs as well. But it's just a really good opportunity to, I guess, remind ourselves of why we love investing so much, which is you get to go down these rabbit holes of really interesting companies trying to work on big problems or trying to create new categories. And this year we've got, I think, six US companies, six Australian companies. So broad range of industries, broad range of, I guess, business stages, broad range of sizes. So keen to get stuck in.
Yeah, I love this series. We've got an epic lineup of companies, and the Summer Series is brought to you by Superhero. Superhero allows you to buy Aussie and US shares and ETFs with no monthly fees, and you can now earn Qantas points with Superhero. So visit superhero.com.au/Qantas to learn more. Eligibility criteria, terms and conditions, and fees and charges apply. So first cab off the rank today, Ren, is a deep dive on BWX, and we're fortunate enough to be joined by the CEO of BWX to talk through all things that are going on there and one of the acquisition deals that have certainly got some attention over the last few months, which we'll get to in a second. But there is one more thing that we need to let the audience know. You guys have a chance to win $1,000 for every Summer Series episode that we do. That's $12,000 over summer, all thanks to Superhero, who are giving a lucky listener $1,000 into a Superhero wallet to start trading. It's pretty simple. All you need to do is listen to this episode, head across to our Equity Mates Instagram page at Equity Mates, and then on the corresponding post for this specific episode, just let us know in the comments what your favorite fact is about BWX. That's all you need to do. Let us know what really interested you about BWX. And then each week we'll choose one lucky listener from those comments to win $1,000.
Yeah. So thanks to Superhero for supporting that competition, for supporting this episode. Let's get into it.
Let's BWX. Do it. Yes.
Let's start from the top. Yeah. BWX, not a company I'd ever heard of before the recent deal, which we'll get into. Is it one that you knew about?
I was familiar with the brands of BWX within it, but definitely hadn't heard of the parent company.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the Equity Mates community will be similar. I think the name probably doesn't ring a bell, but as we get into it, you probably are familiar with some of the brands that are under them. So let's start at the very beginning. Founded in 2013 in Victoria, they develop, manufacture, and distribute natural body, hair, skin products in the US, the Australia, internationally. Mm. They're a natural beauty and skincare business. They've got five brands, some of which people may be familiar with. Sukin,
yeah.
Yeah. Number one natural skincare brand in Australian pharmacy.
Yes, I like Sukin.
You do?
I use a bit of Sukin.
Okay.
Yes.
Andalou Naturals.
Yeah.
Number one facial skincare brand in the US natural channel.
Yeah.
One that you're familiar with?
No, I haven't.
USPA or USPA.
Haven't heard of that one, but that's probably because I'm not in the spa industry.
Yeah, that's a supplier to the spa industry. Mineral Fusion, number one cosmetics brand in the US natural channel. Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't. Not over in the US.
The name rings a bell, but obviously I'm not a big skincare and beauty user. And then finally, GoTo.
Yeah, skincare. Zoe Foster Blake's skincare brand.
Have you heard of that one?
I have heard of that one. Yeah. It's a bit hard not to have heard of that one, I think.
So GoTo is really the exciting, the recent excitement around this company. Zoe Foster Blake, she started GoTo and it just has taken off over the last however many years. And this year, BWX announced a deal. They now own 50.1% of GoTo.
Yeah.
So just got that ownership stake.
Big deal. Well, what I can see from this, though, is all the brands that they have there, so five key brands, but they're all like leaders within their channel.
Yeah.
So pretty strong makeup of brands for BWX, and of course adding GoTo is likely to, you know, a lot of those are US natural channel, but GoTo is massive here in Australia, obviously with international expansion plans as well. So pretty strong suite of product of brands there.
So if that's the brands, probably where I think a really interesting part of this business model is when it comes to their distribution strategy, because we're sort of entering an era where suppliers are either e-commerce, direct to consumer, or their your more traditional channels, but very few businesses are really strong on both.
Yeah.
You know, like the Nikes of the world that can go strong direct to consumer and also go strong through traditional retailers are really the exception more than the rule. And there are some great retail businesses that do both, but a lot of them play in their lane. BWX is trying to do both. So on one hand, they've been really pushing hard into traditional distribution channels. They've got a big Woolies deal. They signed a strategic partnership with Chemist Warehouse. Over in Canada, they signed a big deal with Walmart. So they're really pushing hard into big box retail.
Mm.
But on the other hand, they are also going hard into e-commerce, and they actually own two e-commerce platforms. Tell me if you've used either of these. Nourished Life.
Haven't used it, but definitely know about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. And yeah. Flora and Fauna.
Not sure about that one.
So they are two e-commerce platforms, two websites that sell both BWX's products, but then also other natural, ethical, vegan, sustainable beauty products as well.
Fun fact, Nourish Life was founded by Irene Falcone, who does Sans drinks, the non-alcoholic
drinks.
No
way.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so she did
so
that.
So she
and
sold
now
it
she's,
to BWX.
Yeah. Well, I think she still is part of it, or maybe she's fully sold out, yeah, but she was definitely the founder.
There you go.
Yeah.
Small
and
world.
Now, and then now in...
Should have got her on to talk about it.
Non-alcoholic drinks, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway.
That's, I guess, the business in a nutshell. Five brands, two platforms, and then obviously established retail channels.
Yeah. But let's have a look at the industry, because that's the exciting part, I think, when you think about this company. It's in a channel that is growing, I think.
Yeah, they say the most exciting industries are industries that are declining at 3% a year.
Is it declining at 3%
a year?
Yeah,
the beauty industry declined 3%.
There's a difference, I think, though, between beauty, though, and natural beauty. I would imagine if you stripped it back, I would imagine the lanes that they're in are
probably
growing a little bit. And I think we'll hear from the CEO about that in at the end of this episode. But the beauty and personal care industry in 2020, $487 billion. The entire industry declining 3% in 2020. But Euromonitor expects it to pick up a bit with compound average growth of 3% between now and end of 2025.
I mean, it's not surprising that the beauty industry declined in the middle of a pandemic. People weren't going out as much. Personal care, you would have thought maybe would have made up for that with people having more time. But I feel like, you know, this whole industry would be pretty tied to GDP. You know, as people get more disposable income, there's probably a portion of it that goes to more of these beauty and personal care items. But I think one thing that is worth paying attention to is the disruption within the industry, because traditionally, you know, the beauty and personal care industry was dominated by the big conglomerates. That hasn't really changed, but they are getting disrupted a little bit by smaller brands, influencer brands, disruptive brands. So the top five beauty and personal care players globally saw their combined market share drop 2% between 2015 and 2020. So not massively, but when you think about an industry that's almost $500 billion, 2% is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we can think about the brands that are driving this disruption. You know, you look at what Kylie Jenner did over in the US. You look at what Zoe Foster-Blake has done in Australia. It's these personality-led, influencer-led brands that are really disrupting some of the bigger players and taking some market share from them.
Yeah. So I've just had a quick squeeze at the natural and organic personal care industry, specifically in the US, given that BWX has a number of its key brands over there, and we know that the plan is to take GoTo over there as well. And it is within the broad industry actually growing at about 5.5% year on year.
It's still not that fast.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would have been faster. It's just,
yeah, maybe it's just because it's so fractured. I don't know if that'd make a difference. But yeah, anyway, it is growing.
So speaking of growing, let's talk about BWX's numbers, because they're pretty impressive.
They are.
So about a $735 million market cap as a company. The share price has traded flat for about 5 years. $4.25 November 2016, about $4.50 today. So
at time of recording.
Yeah, at time of recording. I think they must have issued a bunch of shares in that time, though, because looking at the revenue and profit numbers, there's no way the market cap has stayed steady in that time.
Yeah, right.
So I think the only way that the share price stays steady is if they have issued more shares. The reason I say that, in the last 5 years, revenue has grown from $54 million to $194 million.
Pretty good growth.
Pretty good growth. Almost 30% compound annual growth rate. Profit hasn't grown quite as quickly, from $12 million to $23.5 million. Still not bad, 14% compound annual growth rate.
Yeah.
So the numbers are heading in the right direction. And I think for me, the big thing is it's not just one of the brands that's driving that growth.
Yeah, there's not like key brand risk.
Yeah.
If one brand was to somehow flop, then the entire business goes down with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what, Sukin is the biggest contributor of revenue, 38%. And then what have we got? Second is the Andalou Naturals, 19%. Mineral Fusion, 11%. GoTo is what, projected to be about 15%, I imagine. Yeah, and then the e-commerce platforms that we spoke about, Nourish Life and Flora and Fauna, contributing about 17%. So pretty nice spread there. Sukin obviously the biggest, but yeah, you're right. It's important to have that diversification.
Yeah. Now, one thing that I did think about when I saw that they had two platforms was, first of all, the distribution strategy of retail and then website, and your own e-commerce platforms. Surely there's a bit of cannibalization there. So we'll ask Dave, the CEO, about that when we interview him. But I was also thinking, like, two platforms. Surely there's a bit of cannibalization between Nourished Life and Flora and Fauna. But the company is obviously aware that people have asked them that, and so they've published some numbers. There's a minimal overlap of customers, 13% of customers overlap between the two sites, but also SKUs, less than 20% of the SKUs overlap. And together for the two websites, 80% of the SKUs available on these two websites aren't available in mainstream retail.
Oh, right.
So it's like, it's in some ways, they're very complementary to each other, but also complementary to like general retail.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting because you don't see many companies, you don't see Amazon have like Amazon.com and then, you know, the Nile.com.
So 80% of SKUs on the websites are not available on mainstream retail, meaning in stores or just you can't find them anywhere else on your classic Chemist Warehouse website and those sorts of places?
Well, I think mainstream retail, both online and
in-store.
In-store, like, yeah. Because the one of them is all about ethical. The other is like vegan, ethical, sustainable. I think one is more millennial focused. One is more Gen Z focused.
Mm.
For a category that I know nothing about, like skincare, personal care, beauty, definitely not my cup of tea.
No.
But it's an interesting business. And like the numbers in some ways speak for themselves. Like they are growing quickly, they're acquiring good brands, they're succeeding overseas. If you want to see some cool images of a new warehouse that they're building, it looks pretty, like a new production facility. It looks pretty slick. Obviously, it's CGI, so we'll see how it looks in real life. But, you know, they're investing in automating their production, which will bring costs down, I assume. So in terms of like a cool Australian success story, full credit.
Yeah, absolutely. So we know it's in the natural space, organic space, and so you would imagine they've got some pretty lofty sustainability targets, which they do, targeting 100% recyclable and carbon neutral brands and operations by 2030. And this is something that we speak to Dave Fenlon, the CEO, about later in this episode. But good to see they've got some strong targets there as well. And he's very bullish on the fact that they're going to hit them, no worries. So
yeah, let's just quickly touch on what their future plans are, but then let's get to this interview because I think we'll be able to get a lot more detail when we speak to Dave. Mm. But looking at what the company is talking about their future plans, I feel like it's a pretty simple strategy at this point. Like there's nothing too complicated. They're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. They've obviously got this portfolio of brands approach, and so it's keep growing the brands that they have, keep an eye out for more strategic acquisitions to add to the portfolio. But it feels like the real focus right now is GoTo and realizing the potential in GoTo. We pulled out some of the numbers for GoTo's growth because it's a pretty phenomenal story. So founded in 2014 by Zoe Foster Blake, and then it just has sort of exploded. So F21 delivered $37 million in revenue, $12 million in EBITDA, and over the last 3 years, its compound annual growth rate for revenue was 50% a year.
Nuts.
And then for EBITDA was 39% a year.
Lovely numbers.
I love to see those numbers. Yeah. Very impressive.
Yeah, and as we'll hear in a moment, but the focus is really on taking GoTo from the success story it is here in Australia and taking that internationally. BWX have the network and the skills to do so and the scale to really leverage that and push GoTo to huge heights, I would imagine, around the world.
Mm.
Yeah.
So if you want to check out some more information on BWX, you can head over to Superhero and see a bit there. Let's take a quick break and then jump into the interview with BWX CEO Dave Fenlon.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So we're now joined by Dave Fenlon. Dave is the Group CEO and Managing Director of BWX. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So Dave, we always like to start these interviews with the CEO describing their company in their own words. So to kick us off today, what is BWX?
Well, put it simply, we're all in on natural. BWX is a purpose-driven Australian company, and we exist to create natural beauty and wellness for the world. We're spread across the globe. We have headquarters in Melbourne, Australia. We have offices in Sydney, Shanghai, and I'm currently joining you here from Petaluma, which is just north of San Francisco. We've got a collection of what we think are industry-leading brands, Sukin, Andalou Naturals, Mineral Fusion, Go-To, and a couple of very, very strong direct-to-consumer platforms in Flora and Fauna and Nourish Life. So ultimately, you know, we're trying to capture consumers as they move from what has been historically quite a synthetic-driven or artificial ingredients-led skincare and beauty regime to really unlock the usage of natural ingredients and natural components so that consumers can still get that great performance in their beauty and skincare regime, but do it naturally. Great products, really great experiences for consumers, but all done naturally.
Now, Dave, I must admit, skincare is not something that I'm particularly strong on. maybe I'll be convinced, well, but I'm very much a novice when it comes to this space.
Well, I was actually going to say I'm a big user of Sukin. So,
oh, there you go. Yeah,
love it. So BWX is carving out a niche in this space, you know, the growing natural and ethical beauty space. Why are consumers gravitating to this niche? And I guess the follow-on from that is why should then investors follow them?
Yeah. Look, I think importantly, let's think about what the size of the category is, right? It's half $1 trillion a year as a category, right, for beauty and personal care. The category is growing at around about 5.5% CAGR for the last 3 years, and it looks as if that growth is going to continue. COVID has also accelerated that from a natural perspective. So what we're trying to do is make sure that the natural part of that becomes mainstream. Personal and beauty has always been a big category, but we're trying to unlock that from a natural perspective. We've owned Sukin. One of you just said, you know, you're a complete user of that since 2007. It's a pioneering brand. It's a brand that really is bringing people from that synthetic environment and giving the opportunity to try and test at the natural ingredients that we have. And we think BWX is really well positioned with that house of brands to really bring that to consumers. Why? Because natural is no longer just niche. It's mainstream. In fact, it's a revolution that's really, really accelerating. We're democratizing the opportunity to go natural. And what we do is make it affordable. We're not $200. You know? We're entry, we're affordable, we're great value. And what we're also doing is working with consumers and customers as everybody tries to improve their impact and their footprint on the planet. So we're bringing what is a really good growing category and a great consumer tailwind together, and we're doing it with brands that we really do believe started this revolution, not someone that's coming late to the party.
Now, Dave, speaking of great brands, I think one of the more exciting announcements from BWX recently is around the Go-To acquisition. A lot of people listening will be familiar with Go-To, Zoe Foster-Blake and her team's skincare brand. So can you sort of take us, I guess, into the room? What was the conversations like with Zoe and her team putting this deal together? And then what's the plans going forward as having Go-To as part of your range?
So it all started about 2.5 years ago when I first joined the business. And what we did is, what we created is a watch list, companies that we really thought were great, worthy rivals, people that were really, you know, changing up the space and pioneering. And Go-To was on that list. And we tracked them and we followed them. And very fortunately, Zoe decided it was time for her to look at a partner to take the brand internationally. And very early on, if you talk to her, there was a very strong mutual attraction. Why? Because we've got the same ethos, right? She could have chosen many, many people. She could have chosen private equity. She could have chosen different partners. The reality is we've got a very similar purpose. We've got a very similar culture. And we both want to really democratize natural ingredients and natural products across the globe. So it really shows that, you know, from a cultural perspective, that's where Zoe started. Now, she is an amazing entrepreneur. She's a brilliant beauty editor from the past. And she's created with her team some really high quality and complementary complementary products that are simple to use. They're trusted. They've got a great audience. And we can bring international growth opportunities to that brand. And we'll take what they've done exceptionally well in Australia, and we'll continue to work on that, grow on that, bring new products to market. And then we're going to take the brand internationally. We've had some great conversations with retailers across the globe. I mean, one of the interesting factors is we announced the partnership, and within the hour, while we were still on investor calls, we had 17 retailers come inbound because it's got such a strong brand following.
Wow.
You may or may not be able to get into the closed Facebook group because you've got to be very special to get in there. But there's 25,000 Facebook followers to the brand, and they are just passionate about sharing the education, sharing their knowledge, and sharing their love for the products. And ultimately, it's a brand that is super, super in its growth trajectory. Buy new products, but also bring in new users and new consumers to the brand. So great, great financial performance, great values, great cultural fit. And we're excited about how we're going to work together in the partnership and take this brand to more global consumers.
Yeah, it was an exciting story. And we were reading through the deck and the growth of BWX and also GoTo has just been pretty phenomenal. So, can understand why that was on your hit list.
Yeah.
Talking about acquisition opportunities, you know, as investors, we look at managers and try to assess how good they are as capital allocators and how they think through acquisitions to, you know, bolt on and continue growth. How do you think about identifying the next opportunity? Is there sort of like a point where you say, all right, we've got enough brands? What's the process and your strategy for acquisitions?
Look, I think importantly that again starts by what I said, this is this watch list, right? It may not be that these businesses are businesses that we bring into the portfolio, but we can learn from them. So we currently have about 38 companies on our watch list, not, as I said, just for straight acquisition, but to learn. Worthy rivals, what are they doing? How can we improve from you know, stealing with pride with what they're doing? But if we do look at it as an acquisition, we want it to be against our core. Is it natural? Is it a brand that can ultimately fit happily alongside what we already have in the family? Is it driving growth? Has it got a very strong consumer proposition? Where does it differentiate? What's its real purpose? And where does it differentiate against its competitor set? And importantly, what proportion of its revenue is direct to consumer and what proportion of its revenue is with retail? Important part, because as we know, consumers now really do have an omni-channel approach to where they're shopping. Plus, what can BWX bring to that partnership? Can we bring manufacturing benefits? Can we bring experience of going internationally? What can we do from a procurement benefit to also bring cost synergies that we can use to unlock and increase our marketing spend? So there's a whole bunch of factors that we take into consideration. Bottom line, though, got to be EPS accretive. Got to be a business that's growing, got to be a business that we can unlock synergies, because ultimately we are a public company and we have a responsibility to return to our shareholders.
I love that idea of a watch list, Dave. I think I might get Bryce and I to sit down and make a watch list for Equity Mates after this. Both Bryce and I are former retailers, and as we were looking at your company and researching for this interview, we were struck by, I guess, the two-track distribution strategy that you're following. On one hand, you're deepening relationships with traditional retailers, Walmart in Canada, Woolworths in Australia, Chemist Warehouse, wherever they're located globally. And then also you're going down the e-commerce direct-to-consumer route. You've got two e-commerce platforms and your brands, some also have, you know, direct websites where they're selling. It's an interesting strategy. You know, a lot of suppliers will focus on one as a wholesaler or one on direct to customer, but you're really pursuing both hard. How do you think about, I guess, first of all, why that decision to choose both and pursue both? And then how do you balance those strategies? Do you worry that they may end up cannibalizing each other or anything like that?
It's really actually quite simple. The consumers will shop where they want to shop, and nobody is held ransom to shop bricks and mortar or D2C. In fact, if you look at your own shopping habits, you know, I look at mine, I shop across all of the platforms. I also, when I shop bricks and mortar, shop in different retailers, whether they be grocery, mass, specialty, or pharmacy. And also when I'm shopping online, sometimes I buy direct from the brand, or I'll go to someone like Amazon or someone like Flora and Fauna or Nourish Life. Importantly, it's where the shopper and consumer wants to purchase. So that's the most important thing, because they ultimately are the controller of your destiny, because they are the people, old-fashioned saying, that ultimately pay your wages. So traditional retail partners are really, really important for the category. Even after all of the changes of COVID, we're still under 15% in Australia as a group of consumers purchasing from online. America's slightly bigger, 22%. And I think that will continue to grow, and I think it will continue to change. But traditional retailers also provide education. They provide shelf space. They provide an experience for consumers. And that's also vitally important. Just look at what's going to happen in Melbourne at 6 o'clock tonight when the doors of retail are thrown back open. There's going to be queues. People still love that interaction. So what we do is we think both of those are equally important, because that's what consumers have taught us. We have a great relationship with our retail partners, and they're very clear about how we want to interact with them. And we're very strong in providing them great promotional offers, great new product development, great opportunities to also hear about our insights about what's happening in the total skincare and natural category. But importantly, we also want to be able to talk directly to our consumers, educate them, and inform them. And we also want to know what else they're buying. So it's quite a simple strategy. It's really, really led by the consumer.
Dave, sustainability, ESG, very important for the Equity Mates community. And, you know, BWX is targeting 100% recyclable and carbon neutral brands and operations by 2030. Can you talk us through this commitment, how you're tracking, what you're doing to actually hit these targets?
Look, I think importantly in 21, the year that's just gone, we were far more transparent against our ambitions. You know, we benchmarked against specific organizations as well as looking at the global reporting initiatives. Why? Because consumers are really, really focused on it. Now, we've historically been a leader in sustainability, and we need to continue to be that leader. Consumers are demanding it. Our shareholders expect it. And most of the people in our organization also, it's core to their principles as well. Now, we've done a lot. There's a lot more to do. But the new manufacturing facility that we're building, that we go live on at the turn of the year, will enable us to reduce our waste by over 50%. We've also set ourselves targets to have no landfill by 2025. Sukin is already a carbon neutral brand. We'll have all of our brands carbon neutral by F23. Why? Because that's the trend that consumers are following. And as leaders, we have to lead by example and set these goals, because we've only got one world. And let's be honest, it's all of our responsibility to do something better about it. And in addition to that, diversity is important. Diversity of thought, diversity of employees, diversity around bringing down, you know, unacceptable levels of pay inequality between males and females. So we're really focused on all of those attributes and all of those activities, because they make a good business.
Dave, you mentioned the new manufacturing facility just then. I've seen some photos in your investor presentations. It looks pretty slick. It looks pretty big as well. You must be pretty excited to open the doors there.
Look, we are. I have to say it's been a journey. COVID has certainly impacted us, but the team have done a wonderful job in adapting to that. We go in there December, January time. It's 18,500 square meters, but it really drives out some efficiencies for the organization. We could have stayed where we were, but we would have been, you know, leaving opportunity for efficiency on the table. We're automating a lot of our factory. We're automating our pick and pack operation. And importantly, we're bringing all of our workforce in Australia into one location, excluding the Sydney team. We're not expecting them to come down every day. But what we are going to do then is find ways of having better collaboration, which will drive out more new product development. But importantly, That efficiency gain, 300 basis points when the facility's operating at capacity, will throw back into the business and invest in behind our brands to continue with our vision of being, you know, the global player for natural. And really important we continue to put effort and dollars behind our brands as we educate consumers about the benefits of natural.
Well, here at Equity Mates, we love to see companies investing in Australian manufacturing. It's always good to see, especially when you're exporting that around the world. So excited to see that up and running. Dave, we want to thank you for taking the time today. We always like to finish with a final, the same final question. You know, we're long-term investors here at Equity Mates, and we love, you know, CEOs and company leaders that are thinking long-term as well. So to close us out today, if you think about BWX in 10 or 20 years, what does success look like?
Great question. It's a really simple answer. It's the same thing that we talk about every day in our business, in the decisions we make. We're going to be the global leader in natural wellness and beauty. Simple.
Done.
Done.
That was easy.
Now you've just got to go and do it.
What a sell.
Absolutely. That's what we do every day, guys. Every day.
Nice. No, I love that. No, Dave, it's been an absolute pleasure hearing from you. We love speaking with company leaders and giving our community the opportunity to hear directly from them, particularly obviously with companies that they can invest in. So it's been, you know, really enjoyable. We appreciate your time because we know all of your company leaders are incredibly busy. So thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Bryce. And thanks, Alec. And really do appreciate your time and the thought you've put into this. And guys, just one last thing. If you're not using an SPF for the amount of time you're spending on the screen, get one. Blue light SPF, guys. Doesn't even have to be mine, but please look after yourselves.
Okay, nice.
I have heard the SPF thing, need to get on it, but yeah.
I'll commit to you, Dave. I'll do some research and figure out my skincare routine after this conversation.
And I'm sure Zoe will want it to be a Bro2 product. So you know, don't miss out on looking up the Bro2 range as well.
Well, we're always open for a few samples. So
I was going to say, if Zoe agrees to come on the show, then I'll buy a year's supply of Bro2.
Consider it done, and I'll send you the samples, and then I'll talk to Zoe on Tuesday.
Nice one. That's great. Well, Dave, really appreciate you making the time, and all the best with everything at BWX.
Thanks, guys. Look after yourselves.
Well, there you go, Ren. Pretty interesting company, as we've discussed, and always great to hear it from the CEO themselves. I'm looking forward to seeing how GoTo grows internationally over the next few years. Love seeing a good Australian story.
Yeah, very fascinating story. I need to, I guess, invest some time in my skincare routine.
You do, yes.
Dave will now hold me accountable for that. but yeah, I think a really interesting company that I definitely hadn't heard of, and I assume a lot of people hadn't heard of. So good way to kick off the summer series, I think, by discovering a company that may be new to a lot of people.
Absolutely. So thank you to Superhero who have sponsored this episode and the summer series. Superhero now allow you to buy US and Aussie shares and ETFs with no monthly account fees, and you can earn Qantas points with Superhero. So visit superhero.com.au/Qantas to learn more. Eligibility criteria, terms and conditions and fees and charges apply. But also just a reminder that you can win $1,000 into your Superhero wallet if you just head over to the Equity Mates Instagram page and leave a fun fact from this episode on the corresponding post. We'll then choose a lucky winner from the comments section, and we'll announce it later this week on our Instagram stories. So your chance to win not only $1,000 on this episode, but if you listen to all 12, you could be walking home with 12 grand in Superhero. Next episode, we continue the summer series with another deep dive on Match Group. So it's home to some of the world's most popular dating sites. Can't wait to get stuck in.
Can't wait.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Equity Mates. We love hearing from you. So drop us a line at contact@equitymates.com, or even better, go to your podcast player and leave a 5-star review. Also, a reminder that the Equity Mates content train doesn't stop when you've run out of episodes to binge. We've got a brand new website, a Facebook discussion group. We're on Instagram, YouTube, and slowly making our way as an influencer on TikTok. Well, that's Ren. So come and say hello and join the community. We'd love to welcome you. Until next time.
Equity Mates Investing Podcast is a product of Equity Mates Media.
All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. EquityMates gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by a range of financial service professionals. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of EquityMates Investing Podcast are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. EquityMates Media does not operate under an Australian financial services license and relies on the exemption available under the Corporations Act 2001 in respect of any information or advice given. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast or video. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the EquityMates website, where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, EquityMates Media and the hosts of EquityMates Investing Podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.